Now we'll use number 233 as we open. Let us stand. Possible, let us kneel in prayer. O God, our eternal Father, once again we kneel, we humble ourselves before Thee, giving Thee the gratitude of our heart. Thankful, Lord, for this land of liberty and peace where we're able to meet together under the leading of Thy Holy Spirit. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the multitude of blessings that Thou hast granted unto us, for this restored gospel which has come to us in the latter day. We thank Thee for brothers and sisters in the bonds of that gospel. We pray Your blessing upon each one. We pray for those, Lord, who stand in need. There are many who are sorely afflicted. We hold them up before Thee once again. We pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we ask Your blessing of comfort and strength and peace to be with them. We ask Thee, Father, that You will bless our brothers and sisters in foreign lands, the ministry that minister unto them. We're mindful especially of the great need of our brothers and sisters in Yucatan. We pray, O Lord, that You will comfort them and bless them, that You will be their protector and their shield. In these moments of suffering, the potential of disease, in this time of hunger and thirst, do bless them, O Lord, we do pray. We ask Thee that their homes and their churches shall be quickly restored, that they will give praise and honor to Thee. Keep them strong and safe, we do pray. We pray for Your people this night assembled. Watch over, care for, and bless each one according to their needs. We pray for the ministry. We pray for our brother this night as he stands in this pulpit, that they might be empowered from on high to preach with power and authority the blessed word that has come to us. May it reach into our hearts, Father, and work within us that which is pleasing to Thee. And so we wait before Thee. We thank Thee once again for all Thy goodness, for this opportunity to be together here in Thy house of prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Number 196. Shall we stand again? We ask now for your careful and your prayerful attention as our brother, Elder Andy Brown, brings us the message this evening. Andy?
Is this thing on? Yeah, there we go. I'm thankful to be here. Today seemed funny to me, in as much as I couldn't figure out which Sunday of the month it was. Because my Sundays are gauged according if it's the first Sunday or the second Sunday or the third Sunday where I'm at. It's the fifth Sunday, and so I'm lost. But I am thankful to be here. I'm thankful to see the return of our brothers that's been in foreign lands and seem to be reasonably in one piece. I do have some thoughts this evening I'd like to bring to you. I'd like to begin with a scripture in St. John's in the 6th chapter. Sometimes I think as I have opportunity to prepare for sermons, the Lord likes to keep me guessing. Or maybe likes to get me out of habits, because sometimes I feel like that, oh, this is going to be a different sermon than normal, if there is a normal. But we'll see how it goes. I'd like to read the 63rd through the 69th verses of the 6th chapter of John. It said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life." This is Christ speaking. "But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who it should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I find that interesting. And I know I've read this scripture many times in the past, but I guess today it just kind of jumped out at me that because of a few of the words which Christ spoke at that time, it said many of those who had been following him, they went their own way and didn't come no more. In the 67th verse, it said, "And Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye go away? Will you also go away?" And Peter was quick to answer, wasn't he? He was real quick to answer. And this is a little bit about what I want to talk about tonight. It says, "And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." And so as we come here this evening and heard a beautiful sermon this morning, and I want to make a little reference to a couple of things our brother said, but as we come here, I ask you that question. To whom would we go? I also ask you the question, do you have the quick answer that Peter had? Is it habit? Is it deep within you that your answer would be that we believe and are sure that Jesus is the Christ? Is that our quick answer today? You know, there's a lot of things that can discourage us. There's a lot of things that come into life that can trouble us. Our brother Don this morning spoke about the parable of the sower. Cast some seeds on stony ground and good ground and thorny ground. And there's never a time that I don't hear that I don't have to examine myself and say, what kind of ground am I? Those seeds that are falling in my life, are they truly taking root? Or are they, am I in my heart hard and is it stony ground? And when trials come, am I going to have problems? You know, and I really believe that was the very purpose that the Lord spoke those words so long ago. That not that we could look at our brothers or at our sisters or the guy down the street and say, I think that's pretty stony ground, you know. And we look at someone else's life and say, oh man, they're gone. They didn't really take it serious, you know. That's not the purpose of that. The purpose of that is that we could look at ourselves and say, man, I better make sure I get my ground tilled up so it's not hard. Earlier this year, I was kind of proud of myself. I had a little spot of green in my backyard. It doesn't happen very, very often at my house. Between my boys and my dogs, what little grass endeavors to grow usually gets dug up or ran over or smashed down. And so this year we made a little bigger effort to have some grass back there, and I fertilized it, you know, and I watered it, and I put the dogs in a pen, told the boys to stay off of it, you know, and it started to grow and did pretty good. But I noticed the last month or so it's kind of getting thin again and it's looking kind of brown. I'm still watering it, and I went out there today and I got to looking at it, and it looks like the ground is packed. It's hard. And I remember this guy who's a guy that talks on the radio about how to take care of your plants and your garden and everything. He said, every once in a while, you should put on some golf shoes or baseball shoes and go around and run around your grass and get some air down in there. And I was thinking, well, maybe that's what I need to do. And I just thought of that today as I was contemplating some of the things I would say here this evening. That perhaps that's a problem with my grass, is that it needs some air, you know, and the ground is getting too hard for the plants to grow. And I think that's very much something that we need to look at. You know, unbelievably, I've been attending this local for 20 years. It doesn't seem like it's possible. I first came down here, it was 1981. later, 1980, 1981, I don't remember, Hubert probably remembers, when I invaded his home. But 20 years has passed. And looking back at my life for those 20 years, 21 years, a lot of things have happened. A lot of things have happened. A lot of good things have happened. But I also have to look at myself in the mirror spiritually, as each one of us need to, and recognize that from time to time in my life, that ground has gotten packed. Even though I'm sitting in the pew every Sunday, even though I'm coming every Wednesday night, I might be wearing the right shirt, the right pants. That's not enough. It's not enough. We have to give attention to the condition of our soil, our heart, that is soft and able to be touched by the Master's hand, that is pliable and able to be shaped. Otherwise, we just become an old, hard chunk of ground, like in my backyard, and nothing can really grow on it. Just sits there, and a few dead, lingering pieces of grass try and make their way up through it. That's not where we want to be. We want to be something that's fertile for the Master. And as I read this verse of Scripture here, and Peter was so quick to answer, where would we go? We ain't no place to go. I think we all recognize that. And we come out of habit or out of determination week after week, but that may not be enough. And as oft times as I contemplate what I might bring to you, I notice I have to look myself in the mirror too. And so it's a lot of times for me. But I recognize that in this day, a few gray whiskers, I grow the beard again, you know, it's getting near hunting season. And there's a lot more gray whiskers in there than there ever been. I don't remember any gray whiskers in there last time I grew a beard. So this, as you could imagine, was some shocking revelation to me. I looked in the mirror and the whole little patch of gray whiskers over here. I can't imagine how Brian feels. But I know I'll be looking just like that before long, and that's all right. I don't care. But it is awakening me to time is passing. Time is passing in our life, and it continues to pass. And events come and go, but are we capitalizing to the most of our ability each and every day our service to our Heavenly Father? Or are we consumed, or as our brother Don said this morning, distracted? Has the things of this life distracted us? I'm going to be real honest with you. Since I returned from Alaska a week and a half ago, I've been distracted. Okay? I'm working from unbelievable hours because I got behind while I was gone. Hopefully, I'm getting the upper hand on it. But I don't know. It's easy to become distracted. Sometimes things we do that we think are going to be good, this is going to help us in our walk with the Lord, can even become a distraction. In the 63rd verse here, it said, you know, the Spirit quickeneth, but the flesh profiteth nothing. What a lesson for us. The things of this flesh, the physical things we do, the hours and hours I spend at work or whatever physical thing is important to me in life really is of no great profit. Only the spiritual. Only our service to the Lord. I'm going to shift gears just a little bit here. I had the usual questioning of my son, as I always do when I have to preach, of how long it's going to be that you're going to keep us here. And I thought, you know, what is the big deal with how long I preach? I'm not a long preacher. So I asked him, I said, do you have a hot date? You got someplace you got to be? He said, yeah, I got a pack. I said, where are you going? 18 days till we go hunting. So I'll bear that in mind. I'm not anticipating doing any packing tonight, though. So we're going to go to Matthew, the 15th chapter, and the 21st verse. We'll start in the 21st verse. And it says, "And Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and beheld a woman of Canaan came out of that same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." And we might think this is somewhat uncharacteristic of the Lord. "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Sire, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And then comes she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." This was really a pretty unusual happening for the Lord, isn't it? He basically was calling this woman a dog. And he said, you know, I'm not come to her. I'm come to the house of Israel. And I'm not taking the good gifts I brought for the house of Israel and given to this woman. And she said, "True, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt." He said, okay, you got it. You come seeking a blessing, and I basically said, no, go your way. And you kept coming. And he said, okay, I'm going to bless your daughter. And it says, in that same hour, her daughter was made whole. That same hour, her daughter was made whole. And the thoughts I have this evening are really this. As a people and as individuals, are we that persistent? Are we that persistent when we have a need before the Lord? Or do we approach Him once and say, oh well, go our merry way in the busyness of the distractions that our brother spoke about this morning? Are we that persistent? Do we exercise and do we show that kind of faith? We know there was a woman that touched the hem of His garment. Crowded street. Reached out and touched the hem of His garment. People hitting up against Him and everything. What did He say? Who touched me? Because of her faith, she received a blessing of Him. Because of her faith. Because she knew if she could just touch His garment, she'd receive that blessing. I'd like to flip the page over to the 32nd verse of that same chapter. "And Jesus called His disciples unto Him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continued with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." Do we all recall what's happening here? The Lord had gone out on a mountain, and a whole huge multitude. And from what this says, it was a big group of people. 4,000 men, plus women and children. A big group of people. And they stayed there for 3 days. Nay, think I ought to preach for 3 days? You got 3 days to spare? You stay here for 3 days? No, he's going to leave when it comes dinner time. They stayed there for 3 days with nothing to eat, continuing with the Lord. And we know that this is a miracle the Lord performed, where He fed this multitude with a handful of fish and bread. But my point this evening in reading this is, would we have been one of that group? Are we that determined? Are we determined enough to seek the Lord in humility, as this woman did, And he basically told her she was a dog. You're right. Can I have the blessing I came for? I have my faith is in you. I'm willing to be humbled. You can say the truth. You know the truth. You know. Are we there? Are we willing to do it on our terms? We desire to seek the Lord's blessing. Are we willing to go someplace for 3 days? Or a week? And seek that blessing? It'd be hard for me to do in this current day's life, but the question is, am I willing? Are we willing to do what the Lord asks of us? And to truly be a recipient of that blessing? I kind of divided my sermon tonight up into three parts. The third part, I want to talk a little bit about the struggle. And it's right in the same line with this, even coming from the sixth chapter of John. But the struggle we have with our flesh. Because that's really what we've been talking about up to this point. You know, the reason Nate don't want me to talk all night is because he's got other things he wants to do. I can guarantee as soon as we go home, he's going to hit the refrigerator. That's the first thing. Why? Because he's hungry. It's a struggle with the flesh. You know, we got activities we want to do. We got to get ready to go to work tomorrow. We have whatever we want to do. Go out to eat. We have our struggle with the flesh. But more importantly, day in and day out, we have this same struggle with our flesh. Let's go to Romans, the 7th chapter. And we're going to read somewhat of the struggle that Paul had. And I think we're most of us are pretty familiar with this tongue twister that Paul wrote here. And I just want to read a couple verses of it, the 18th and 19th verse in the 7th chapter of Romans. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." Most of us are familiar with Paul. I'd say he was a pretty devout follower of the Lord. Suffered a lot of afflictions for the gospel, including death. Suffered shipwreck and suffered without food or without clothing. A lot of persecution, some from within the church and from without. Probably someone I'd look up to, you know. Want a desire to be somewhat like that. But yet we find him here trying to relate to us. He has a struggle. He has a struggle in this flesh. This body that the Lord has placed us in on the earth, the things he would desire to do, he doesn't get done. Some of the things he desires not to do, he finds himself doing. I imagine none of us can relate to that, huh? I certainly can. I got good intentions, good plans, things I want to accomplish, times and dates that I want to have certain things done by. I'm going to remove this out of my life by this date on the calendar. Maybe next year. May not get it done this year. You know, at work, we use a lot of schedules because it kind of makes people impressed, you know. Going to do this job, and we're going to put it all on a schedule, and we have a nice computer-generated schedule, and it's in color, and you label across the top dates, and down the side you put the different tasks you're going to do, you know, demolition of walls and framing, electrical, plumbing, all these things, and the bar goes out to the date, and I thought about drawing one, but I'm not a very good drawer, so... I wonder if we did that in our own life spiritually. If we could follow it, you know. Look at the efforts we put into purchasing a home or buying a vehicle, you know. Certain day of the month rolls around, you got to make a payment on it, huh? Maybe you have a plan that I'm going to have my house paid by certain date, you know. The physical things in life, you know. We went to Alaska here a couple weeks ago, and that was planned for months ahead of time. We made the plans, bought the tickets, made the reservations at different places around Alaska. It's all planned out. Do we do that spiritually? Do we take the time to plan success spiritually? To schedule our goals? To put into action our desires? Or do they just linger in the back of our mind as, boy, I sure would like to conquer this in my life. I sure would like to conquer this in my life. How many of you ever make a New Year's resolution? Let's see. Anybody ever make a New Year's resolution? I try not to do it in recent years just because I hate doing it again next year. Same resolution. I think it's a good idea because, you know, the people in life who accomplish things are the ones that set goals to do so. And you set a goal to accomplish something in life, at least it gives you something to point to. I want to encourage you tonight to set some spiritual goals in your life. To everyone in this room that's never read the Book of Mormon, that needs to be your goal. Set a date, a time, that you're going to accomplish something, that you'll read it from cover to cover. For those of you that's never maybe went and visited the sick, or extended yourself in a way that you'd like to, you just never quite got it done. There's a saying in our household, put it on the calendar. Because if it doesn't get on the calendar, it usually doesn't get done. You know, put it on the calendar. Put it on the calendar. Debbie goes to the calendar every morning, looks at the calendar. Oh, that's what we got to do today. Good thing, because I never look at the calendar. So if it was up to me, we'd never get any of that stuff done, you know. But spiritually, we need to do the same thing. To try and accomplish these things. To recognize, and I've said this before, that we're in a battle. And I want to tell you tonight, if you don't feel like you're in a battle, you need to take a close look at yourself in the mirror. Because you need to be in a battle. This life is a struggle against this flesh and the things this flesh wants to do in life. It's a struggle. Enter into the battle. Let's look at Revelations in the third chapter. I'm going to read starting in the 15th verse. It says, I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would thou wert hot or cold. But so then, because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a pretty, it's kind of a strange way of putting things. I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, in my house, as the boys grow up, you know, if the kids go to the back door and spit out the door or something, they're going to get scolded for it because that's not a proper thing to do. If we're out in the woods, no one's going to say anything to them. But here the Lord is saying, you know, if we're neither hot nor cold, He's going to spew us out of His mouth. We're not going to have any part in these things we desire. I'm going to read a few more verses there. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knoweth not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee, buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mightest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Be zealous and repent. Don't go screaming. Someone happen to drag you to repentance. Be zealous and repent. I would guess that a large percentage of our population today rests right here. Just described them. I'm rich. I got clothing and wealth. And the Lord says, you're blind and you're naked. Not necessarily us in this room. Hopefully we can see. But I imagine to some degree or another, we're blind. And I find it interesting, he says, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mightest see. Do we truly see? Do we truly see outside of ourselves, outside of our little world, the things we want, the things we think we need? The 20th verse says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit down with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am set down with my Father in his throne. Overcome what? To he that overcometh, what is it that we're overcoming? This flesh, the things of the world. Those things that so easily beset us. Those things that Don was speaking about this morning. That get us off track. Distractions. Things that are illusions. That think that we got the world by the tail. And we fit into this category up here of the 16th and 17th verse. Most of the successful people around us, boy, they have money and cars and just everything in life that money can buy and prestige and able to go do whatever they want to do whenever they want to do it. Are they blind? Are we blind? Ask yourself these questions. Are you blind and can't see afar off? Are we looking through the eyes of the physical man, this flesh that is corruptible and really deceives us? Or are we looking through the eyes of the spiritual man? Let's look in Revelation, the second chapter, in the fourth and fifth verse. And here this says unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, right? And then we're going to jump down. So this is, he's speaking to different churches here. In the fourth verse, and up to the fourth verse, it tells he's kind of satisfied with what's going on there. The fourth verse, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from thence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except ye repent. He was speaking to believers. He was speaking to the church. Do we today still hold fast to that first love? Do we still have those great desires and expectations of ourselves that we did the day we entered into the waters of baptism? Are we still engaged in the battle? Able and willing to make changes in our own lives and not look at our neighbor? Or are we just kind of comfy? I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I find myself real comfy. Get up, go to work, come home, do a few things around the house. Pretty nice life the Lord has given us, huh? Spiritually, we cannot be comfortable. We have to be on guard. We have to be ready. I'm going to read a verse in the Book of Mormon. I find it interesting that each time the last couple of verses we've read, we find the immediate thing we need to do is repentance. we find ourselves off course. That's the avenue. That's the turn we need to make, is to repentance and get our feet back in the path. Mosiah, in the first chapter, 119th verse, very familiar verse to me, probably to most all of you. It says, "For the nature of man is an enemy to God, and has been from the fall of Adam, and will be forever and ever." Normally I read the next two or three verses, and I may read the next one here in a minute, but you know, that's our nature. We need to recognize that. We need to recognize that if we just go about life doing what comes naturally, we're in opposition. We're in opposition to God. You know, sometimes I know that as young men and young women, especially young men, I don't know, I've never been a young woman, I found it real easy to just do whatever happened to pop into my head next, you know. You're out at the river with some buddies and one guy jumps off the cliff, everybody jumps off the cliff, you know, because you're just indestructible. As a young man, I recognized that, you know, if you could do something once and feel like you had a good time and didn't get killed, you go do it again, you know. And that's by our nature. That's our nature, which the Scripture here tells us is really an enemy to God. As young men and young ladies, as old men and old ladies, sin that creeps into our life comes easy. It's our nature. That's our nature. So we need to be aware of that. The 120th verse here, it says, "But if he yield to the enticing of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and become a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child, meek, submissive, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child submit to the Father." That's in opposition to our nature. You know, if I get in a conflict at work, the last thing I want to do is become humble and meek, and you know, that's not my nature. I want to stand my ground. You know, but that's not what the Lord intends for us to do. So think about these things. Each one of these things I brought up this evening, I really like to pose as a question, you know. Really pose as a question that you ask yourself. Let's look in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. We'll start there in the 7th chapter. I'm just going to read the first verse. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Simple little statement. I'm sure I've read it. I don't remember ever reading it before. Not that someone else is going to come by and cleanse us. It ain't going to happen. The things that we know, the promises that we have. Each one of us, I've seen you here week after week, year after year. Some of you were here when I got here, you know, so I know you've been here a long time. So we know what's right. We know what's wrong. We know that it comes down to us. What are you doing today? Are we asleep? Are we asleep spiritually today? What are you doing today to cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh? The things that our flesh wants to do, which are in opposition to godliness, to holiness. For some time, and I think, I don't have a very good memory, But for some time, I think I think I mentioned it here last time. But for some time, I really feel like the Lord has placed upon my heart. I guess a sermon that I haven't been able to give yet, and I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but a desire, maybe more than anything, that we can awaken ourselves. And maybe it's for me, not for you, but that we can awaken ourselves from where we're at today. That we can become aware of the place we live in history. I think it was Joel that gave a sermon about some guys walking out of the World Trade Center. I had them on video this last September 11th, a year ago, September 11th. A couple guys walking out of there, and they were talking to each other, and just, I mean, they knew something was going on. An airplane hit the building. Totally oblivious that within moments, seconds, that whole building was going to collapse where they stood. Didn't have any clue. And I got to wonder if we don't stand there today. You and I in the Church of Christ, just ho-hum every day, enjoying life, doing what we think is pretty good, but unaware of really the thing that's going to happen next. I don't know what it is, but unaware of what the Lord really wants us doing. And it may not be running off to foreign lands. I'm not saying that, but unaware that the Lord is standing, calling for us to come up the next rung on the ladder. We've been perched here for some time. You know, are we willing? Are we willing to truly take a look at this physical man? Put off some of the distractions that Don spoke about this morning. I'm sure that each one of us could go to someone else's house and recognize some distractions. Things that, hey, this guy spent a lot of time sitting in front of the TV. Andy, he disappears out there into his shop every chance he gets, and someone has to drag him out of there about midnight. You know, we could each recognize perhaps a distraction in someone else's life. The question is, can we recognize it in our own? And are we willing? Are we willing to look at ourselves and say, okay, Lord, what is it you want me to do? What do I have to do to come up the next step on that ladder of life, spiritually? Are we willing to put those things out of our life? Let's look in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. It's pretty close by to where we're at. And we're going to read the 17th and 18th verse. It says, "Therefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing." And I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I don't know if we're willing. I don't know if I'm willing. Sometimes I think we like to see this unclean thing that we're not supposed to touch. Some great and terrible wicked sin that is out there in the world that none of us happen to be involved with at the time. But I don't know that that's what it is. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Are we separate? Is it recognizable in your life to those around you? Are you separate and touch not the unclean thing. What a wonderful thought that the Lord said, and I'll be a father unto you. And you'll be my sons and my daughters. Is that the desire of our heart? To be the son or the daughter of the Master? Or are we just too comfortable where we're sitting now? Just too comfortable hanging out, doing just enough to satisfy our conscience? Not willing to give a full commitment, just a partial one. One of these days when things get a little worse, maybe we'll give a little more commitment. I feel inadequate to express myself and some of the feelings that I feel like the Lord has placed upon my heart concerning these very things. In the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi, it says you can't serve two masters. You only serve one and not the other. I'm fearful that in our day, in the Church of Christ, that's our endeavor, to serve two masters. That's our endeavor. To try and satisfy two masters. And I believe what the Scripture says. You can't do it. It's impossible. You're going to serve the one and betray the other. So I'd ask that you might think about these things. Take a deep look in the mirror. Not your neighbor, but in your own mirror. And ask yourself and pray, let the Lord would help us become willing. That's what it takes. We can change. We can make changes in our life. Some of us may have big changes to make. Others of us, you may be close to where you need to be. I don't know. But the Lord would help us be willing to make those changes. To separate ourselves from the world. You know, in my sons, I hate to embarrass them, I try not to. As they grow and have different interests and proclaim different things they want to do or see or go, I can see the nature of man all over it. And I can remember that some of those same words were coming out of my mouth then. And I know that things change and people change, but we as adults sometimes are still seeking those same desires that we had in our youth. Every once in a while I have a foolish, fleeting thought of doing something that I always wanted to do when I was a young man that would probably kill me now. You know, some physical feat, some great challenge physically. Because it's always there. It's always there in the back of my mind. And spiritually, I think, you know, some of the desires we have, that's where they're at. They're in the back of our mind. We need to bring them to the forefront. And let the Lord challenge us to come up to a higher plane. And to come out of the world and not partake of the plagues that it offers. And not to touch the unclean thing. And identify it. Identify the unclean thing and don't touch it. Well, I think I've said the things I feel like I needed to say. I hope that we can continue to grow. hope that you all know that I love each one of you. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody besides myself. I have a desire to look past what this world tells us we ought to be. You know, I look at Bob and Liza and I smile because they are the poster family. They're missing half a kid. I mean, 2.5 children, nice suburban home. Their car actually fits in the garage. That's disgusting. But, you know, nice car, nice, just a nice family, you know. And that's great. I'm just tickled that they're living next door to me. But in that same thought, you know, the world puts a lot of expectations on us, the way we ought to be. The things that are expected of us, and many of them hinder our service to the Lord. And I challenge us to think outside of what the world expects of us and think within the confines of what's written. And look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself those hard questions. Set some goals for success. You know, if my boss never handed me a schedule, I'd never finish a job. The only reason I finish jobs is because I'm under the pressure to do it. You know, or I'd get over there next week and finish that, or I'd probably have 20 jobs almost finished and none of them quite finished, you know. That's what I do at home. But spiritually, we do that. Set some goals. Make some plans. Make some changes. And I'm sure the Lord will bless us in it. Thank you.